Okay, so it's decided. We're all available to meet on the 4th.
Yes, I'm so glad we finally decided on a date. I was really starting to get worried.
You and me both. All right, everyone, I will see you in 2 weeks.
Wait, two? 2 weeks? I thought you said the 4th.
Yeah, the 4th of April, the day that happens in 2 weeks.
Oh, I thought we were talking about May, but I think I can probably make it work. Just let me check my calendar.
It's taken us 9 different dates to decide on the 4th. You'd better be able to make it.
Shoot. Well, that's when I've got my goat rental scheduled for. I'm not going to be able to make it.
This time on Becoming DM, we're talking about running games as play by post. Hey everyone, this is John.
And this is Danielle.
And before we really get into the topic, we should probably define what we mean by play by post, right?
Yes, is it like using fence posts?
Sure. No, rather than running games where you are using your voice to communicate, whether that's in person or online, we're basically taking that voice audible communication out of it and transitioning it all into text as the communication medium. So a little bit different, obviously some things that need to be considered when we do it. So, Danielle, have you run a play-by-post game before yourself?
I've most certainly talked to people who have, and I've thought about doing it. There was about a month ago, I had this really great idea for a play-by-post, and I was going to do it, but I ended up not doing it because my great idea came 15 minutes before I would have had to, like, enact it, and I had to accept that I did not have the time to do it, no matter how much I wanted to. So I've never actually done it.
Well, perhaps you should have listened to our episode of about running your games with little or no prep.
but it's like at least a half an hour long. How about you?
Yeah, so I have actually run 2 separate games using play by post with varying results. It was interesting to do, and we probably didn't get as far as I wanted to, and I think that was probably more on my side than the player's side. But yeah, it was an interesting experience, and we'll talk a little bit about why as we get into there. So let's jump in and talk about why somebody would want to do this.
Let's talk about why you wanted to do this.
Okay. me specifically?
You specifically. You've done it twice. Why?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned that when I started running Pathfinder games, I was doing it for my son and his friends. And these kids were very active in extracurriculars, and so they had a lot of difficulty with coordinating schedules to get together and stuff. So we talked about doing this play-by-post thing and thought it would be a good way for them to play as they were able to. So rather than saying, like, we're going to set a date and we're going to spend the entire night gaming, which is what we did typically, we can say, all right, I'm going to send you a message and then respond when you can, and we'll kind of move from there. And I got, because I'm a big nerd, I wrote this bot in this chat application that we were using, and the bot would do things like roll dice. It was tied into the Pathfinder SRD, so we could do rules lookup by asking questions, and like, so if somebody wanted to look up a spell, they could look up that spell, and it would bring up the text for the spell. There were quite a few things to it, and so I think that was probably a little bit of the reason why I wanted to do it, because I wanted to write the bot. But really, it was mainly around the scheduling aspect of it and not having to worry about everybody being in the same room at the same time for a long period of time.
I guess that works out really well. Also, with you said like the crowd was in high school?
Yep.
High school. So that you can fit that around a lot of different things.
Yeah, and you've got, if you think about it, you've got these these little brief moments where you probably aren't doing anything else. So if you can play a game, hey, that's awesome. So whether it's you're a passenger in a car or a bus going somewhere, or you're just waiting on something, you're in line or whatever, it gives you a little bit of flexibility on when and how you play. And also from a location standpoint, as long as you have connectivity to whatever application you're using, you can play it from wherever as well.
Sounds pretty handy. I think it would also work out pretty good for people with a lot of social anxiety. I know that I've had one or two people who have played at my table, and they tend to get a lot of that social anxiety. And mm-hmm. I think Play by Post might work better for them.
Yeah, if you've got somebody that is just not able to handle the social aspect of playing in person or even playing online, it would be an option. And it could be kind of a first step too, because if somebody has maybe not just total social anxiety, but anxiety of playing with other people, having this be text-based where they have a moment to write their response and stuff like that could be kind of like a first step to get them a little bit more comfortable to playing an in-person or online game with people that is synchronous rather than the asynchronous nature of Play by Post.
That's true. And like for me, I do get some social anxiety, but like from the idea of like, if I were to go join somebody's game and I didn't already know somebody at that game, like if I moved cities or something, mm-hmm. I think I know that I would have trouble just going into someone else's house with like 8 people or whatever that I've never met before, being like, hey, I'm a barbarian, you know? So I think that like if you started in like a Play by Post thing, that would be like this really nice warm up, you know, to kind of bridge that gap, like you said.
And I will say that I have done some Play by Post as part of my regular game as in between sessions. So if I had something that a character was going off and doing something on their own, because I didn't want to have it be the that person show. I didn't think of a name in time. So the Billy Timothy. Show, the Billy Show. then I can basically have that action occur in between games. And if we don't have time to schedule something to like verbally do it, I've done a couple of times where we've just done SMS back and forth. And these are largely for those more social encounters where we're not rolling and I don't have to worry about having dice rollers and stuff like that. But it is a way to have some of that single character driven action still happen, but not take up your entire session.
Yeah, and then you don't have a whole, like, especially if it's one player, like you said, a single character out of, like, a group, though. And then the other players don't have to, like, be present but not be able to play.
Yep. And I think that another reason is if you are super into writing highly detailed descriptions of the world around you and you feel like when you say it, the players are just not listening. This actually, I think, is a good medium to have those really detailed, thick descriptions because you've got written word. People can read it as they have time, and you can spend a little bit more time writing it as well. So I think it gives you as the DM, as well as the players in their responses to you as the DM, the option to create more robust, immersive, detailed environments that you're playing in.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just thought of that. That would also actually kind of function as like the note taker. Like you would just have notes.
Just scroll back.
The game is text.
Yeah. So let's maybe move on and talk a little bit about tools. So Danielle, what are kind of some of the common tools that you've heard of people using for running Play by Post?
Well, I can tell you what I was planning on using. I was planning on using Discord because mm-hmm. when we were playing remotely in 2020, we were using Discord. And so I have a server there. And then eventually we moved to like in person, but we still do like game announcements and stuff with the Discord. And so I was just going to use our Discord channel because it's already like, I've already got different like channels set up, different mm-hmm. like text places for different things. And so I was kind of hoping to use Discord. I see that you've got something written here called Slack. I've never heard of Slack before.
Yeah. So Slack is really, it's a messaging tool that is frequently used in the IT community, especially for developers and stuff like that. My company uses a corporate messaging tool, but I know that my son, when he was in college, they would use it occasionally. It's, I would say, similar in functionality to some extent to Discord, in that you can have channels and make break off one-on-one rooms and stuff like that. But frankly, for the purpose of doing play-by-post, I would probably prefer Discord because I think there's a lot more... While there are bots available in Slack, I think there's going to be a lot more like gaming-related bot stuff in Discord.
The bots can be pretty handy. Yep. I have never figured out bots, I'll be honest. And clearly you have more information on them because you're like, haha, I just wanted to write a bot. I've never even figured out how to install one on my Discord.
Yeah, so
are you just making them up over there?
In a former life, there was a... I worked for a company that sold Cisco stuff, Cisco the technology company. And Cisco at the time had a tool called Cisco Spark, and it was a messaging tool, a business messaging tool, where you could, again, make rooms and channels and stuff like that. And they had this bot creation tool, and part of my job was learning how to do this. And I was like, well, hey, this I can learn more about it, and I can have my hobby involved, and it'll be all sorts of good. So, but there are, you don't have to go out and make a bot. There are plenty of bots out there that you can add both to Discord, to Slack, that will allow you to do RPG style stuff. So I think there's like an RPG bot. I don't know all the names because I haven't used it enough because I built my own tool and that's what I did. but it's going to have stuff like rolling dice. It's going to have stuff like even potentially doing things like hit point tracking. You can do rules lookups off of the SRD, which that's the publicly available no charge license model that we talked about, I think, on a previous episode. But there's a lot of stuff that it can bring into it. So I would say if you were going to do something over Discord, I would look into getting a bot in there that you can interact with and your players can interact with.
Yeah, super, super handy. It sounds super handy anyways. If I could figure it out, I'll just probably make someone else do it for me.
Another tool beyond Slack and Discord is D&D Beyond Forums has something for running play-by-post. I haven't really messed with it. I just, in researching for this episode, I stumbled across a page that talked about it. So I haven't used it, but I do know that it has a dice rolling function within it. I'm assuming that because it's D&D Beyond, you can have your character sheets loaded in D&D Beyond and do all that stuff. But beyond that, I really don't know much about it.
I know, so some of the people who play at my table play or used to play in additional games that were play-by-post. Mm-hmm. And I know that they didn't use D&D Beyond specifically. They just used, like, a forum somewhere else on the internet. So if you think about it, basically anywhere where you can find a forum,
yep,
you could, in theory, do that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know... Like, some places might not like you starting to, like, just run a game in their forum.
Yeah, definitely make sure it's a forum that you have at least some control over the forum that you're in, or you're just going to have random people commenting on your game.
Yeah. And then I guess just because this is all text-based, you could, in theory, just do this with, like, texting or, like, Facebook chat or any of, like, just standard chat things.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I do play-by-post in between sessions, and I predominantly have used SMS texting for that. And that was largely because of the one of the players that I was doing it with was not terribly technologically savvy. So if I said, hey, get Discord, they'd have been like, what? So they had a phone, they can use it. And I was fine with doing that. So I just did SMS for that.
Yeah.
Now, well, the thing to be aware of is that there are no additional tools for that. So if you wanted to do the dice rolling and stuff like that in your play-by-post, probably not the best option. But it is a handy option that just about everybody has access to.
That works out, especially having access to all those tools. But, like you said, depending on technological advancements. Or I feel like sometimes SMS would be easier, like you said, just doing in between your own games if you're doing like the solo play. Yep. So I think most important is just knowing that there's tons of different options. I mean, in theory, you could do this with like passing off notes on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Just don't lose the paper.
I don't think you'd be, well, actually that actually sounds difficult because then other people wouldn't be able to see.
Well, if it's a one-on-one type thing in between games, you could pass notes, but yeah, you're right. Or if it's
one-on-one, you could totally do like letters. Like,
or if postcards. It's an espionage style game where everybody's not supposed to know what the other person's doing. Yeah.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to start a postcard play by post.
Well, speaking of that, let's talk about some things to think of. And I think the first thing to think about when doing play-by-post is the pacing is going to be much slower than any other way of playing this game.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to write up these detailed responses. This takes time. You're going to post something out there, and then you're going to wait. Because the players are not all going to necessarily be available right when you send that message. So you may post a message and be like, okay, I'm ready. And they may not post for a day. Hopefully it's no more than a day. And we'll talk about some of the guidelines to set with your players as you get into something like this about response times. But it definitely is something that you have to be prepared for, that there are going to sometimes be lags in response. And part of the reason you might be doing this is for schedules. So you need to be cognizant that somebody's schedule may mean that they respond at 2 a.m. and you just have to wait for that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think for the most part, the only times you'd really do this is with scheduling issues and location issues. And if it's already a scheduling issue, you know that they're probably not going to be, not everybody is going to be available when you're available. Otherwise, right. You probably would have done it in person.
Yep. So what else do we need to keep in mind, Danielle?
I feel like, so I like this and I dislike this. And so I just think it has some really heavy benefits and drawbacks. Because you're typing everything, you're basically providing the notebook like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But every single word that you say is officially logged. So I think that means that you have to choose all the words that you say and the specific language that you use very, very carefully, because so there's a statistic out there. It's like only 10% of communication is the words that you use or something like that, right? Because you don't have body language, facial expressions, vocal intonations. You know, when if somebody's rising up and then they kind of stop and you get that like inflection, it's like, was that a question, right?
Yep.
That kind of thing. And you completely miss that when you go with text message. So you've got your punctuations, your like your question marks, your exclamation marks, things like that to be able to choose, right? But then I also feel like you need to like choose your actual words really, really carefully, and you get to type it all out, but you have to be very specific, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's a matter of like what meaning you want to convey and what meaning the players are going to take from it solely based upon the words that you type out. And I think that it's also important that your players understand this too, because they're going to respond to you. So you need to make sure that they understand what it means to play in a game like this, that it's not just like a three-word response and then your turn is done, that they need to think about how they are approaching something be, I hate to use the word verbose because I don't, you also want to avoid the inverse of this. You don't want them to write like 5 pages worth of stuff every time they respond, because first off you have to wait, and second off you have to read 5 pages of response every time they respond. But you need to make sure that they elaborate on what it is that they're trying to say, do, whatever.
Yeah. I feel like that would be kind of hard. Like, how did you find that worked out? Like, did you have a lot of difficulty with people going like too high, too low, not enough information?
So with the Pathfinder game, it was a bunch of relatively nerdy kids. So I didn't have any problem with them not having enough detail. And honestly, they were usually pretty good. If they had a bit much, then it looked like it was trending that way, I would message them individually and say, "Hey, by the way, you're getting a little bit long-winded here. Let's tighten it up." And usually they're pretty good about responding to that. So I think if you've got people that are willing to take some feedback, and adjust based on it, it can work out fine. For those that are not doing enough, you might have to start off with asking some probing questions. Like, I look at the bartender. Oh, great. Like, what are you trying to convey something when you look at the bartender? Are you looking for something in particular? Tell me what it is that you look to, that you're trying to accomplish with this. And if you ask that question a few times, they get in the habit of like, oh, John's going to ask me about this. I need to provide this with my response.
So I guess maybe highlighting the fact that when they're responding with their message, that they should also input like what they would like you to interpret their body language and facial expressions as, right?
Yep.
So it's like, I look at the bartender versus I look at the bartender with an evil gaze or a piercing gaze trying to determine if he's stealing.
Right.
So then that gives the DM a little bit more to work on. And that might be a more concise way to like tell your players. It's like, nobody can see what you're doing. And if you got players sitting at the table and they say to you, I'm going to stare at the bartender. A lot of times, whether they notice it or not, they look at you with the intention of how they want to look at the bartender.
Yep.
Right? So they'll like gaze at you from across the table, like squinty eye and like angry. And you're like, oh, the bartender takes offense. And you can like respond to that, but that's missing in the text. So if you let them know that to just like add in their body language, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, because I stare at the bartender could mean several things. With evil intent, I stare at the bartender lovingly. Those are pretty different ways of staring at somebody.
I would like to entice him to give me a free beverage. Save myself a copper.
Have you ever finished running a session of your favorite role-playing game and thought to yourself, I'm not really sure I ran that the right way? Or maybe you just tried out something new in your game and it worked really well and you want everybody to know about it. If so, you may have the perfect idea for a future episode of Becoming DM. Point your browser to becomingdm.com/ideas and fill out our simple form to tell us all about it. You can even let us know that you'd like to be a guest co-host for the topic. Submitting your ideas helps John and Danielle relieve pressure on their brains so they can record more episodes. Go to becomingdm.com/ideas today to submit your episode idea. Now let's get back to the show. Since we're on the topic of like giving tips and tricks, maybe we should jump into the next section and talk about tips on how to make this work better overall. And we've hinted at some of these things, but I think there's some additional new things as well. And I will start off with saying channels are good. the when you're using something like Discord or you're using something like Slack, you can add multiple channels and you can provide restrictions on those channels so that you can have certain people in certain channels. But I think that at a minimum, what is probably handy to have is an in-game channel where everything that is said there, like as discussion kind of thing, is really being said in character. So you're basically saying it in the game world. So you don't have to like do all this weirdness. And an out of character channel where you can have chats and maybe even strategize and stuff like that, where it's not clogging up the game channel. Now, you may decide that you don't want to separate those out just because you don't want to manage the channels for it. If you don't, I would say you might want to try to have some sort of tag in your in-game channel to identify this as out of character, just like OOC and then say something or something like that, just so that you're not, again, because it is slower, you don't want to slow it up even further with you saying, oh, I'm interpreting that as you saying it in the room, and this is how the person responds, and then them go, no, I didn't say that, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. It definitely would clear that up. It's like having like an in-character and an out-of-character.
Yep.
Because I've had people shout things, and like obviously I haven't done this specifically yet, but I've had people shout things out at the table. Like, I'm going to cast Fireball at that villager. You're like, oh, okay. And they're like, no, I was just joking. It was,
what's your spell save DC?
Yeah. And then they start to backpedal. They're like, no, I was just joking. It's like, it's so hard to tell while they're sitting at the table, even when they're joking, and they get like this chance to backpedal. But I'm not going to lie. If I spent like 15 minutes typing a response to somebody saying something like that to have them go, oh no, I was just joking. Be like, no, you weren't. Roll for damage.
This is done.
Sorry, we don't retcon here. So I definitely having the split channels with the one and the other. I like that idea. Or being able to tag. I think it gets more complicated when you're doing tagging versus just channels.
Yep. Another kind of channel that I recommend having is you should have a one-on-one channel with every single player in your game. And I think that this is actually one of the things that is really cool about play-by-post that you don't necessarily get from an in-person game, is that you can have these channels very easily to communicate secrets. And so if the character has a secret they weren't letting the party know, you can communicate things about that as time happens. And if they recognize something that the rest of the party doesn't recognize, you can communicate with them and they can decide what to communicate to the party. And so it allows for that a little bit more interplay between the party themselves, because instead of, first off, like, perception role. Instead of me communicating to the entire party that Joe saw this, I can communicate to Joe and then Joe can say, hey guys, this is what I saw. Which is, I think, kind of neat.
It is lovely. I love doing it. And my favorite, did you guys ever play telephone as kids?
Yeah.
Right? Doing this, I'm not sure if you've had this experience, but it happens nearly every time I've ever done this. And it's always like playing a game of telephone. I provide information to one player, and then it gets translated and filtered through whatever this person has going on in their head. And then they're like, party, I have an announcement. And they say something totally different. You're like, oof, that's all right. We're running with that.
Good enough.
They forgot to mention the bugbear and only mentioned the bananas, but all right, that's fine. Who's hungry, I guess.
Further channels, and this, again, another thing that I think is easier with play-by-post, splitting the party. You can have split-the-party channels to where if you've got a party of six and three decide to go one way and three decide to go a different way, great. Split them into their own separate channels, and you can have play-by-post going with both of them simultaneously. And that way, actually, the action doesn't necessarily have to slow down, because as long as you are able to keep up with the pace that the other players are keeping up with, you can actually run them pretty much at the same time.
That actually sounds wonderful. Right. I feel like that's like the strongest selling point to doing this, because every once in a while, my party decides to split into two groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have half of the people literally doing nothing while the other half is doing something, and it just switches back and forth.
Yeah. And rather than having to switch back and forth, just have them both go at the same time.
Nearly impossible to do if everybody has to talk at you.
Well, and the cool thing about the other cool thing about this, again, back to this whole secrets thing, is that when they are split, they are truly separate. So these three over here are getting massacred by the Tarrasque that they stumbled upon on their own. The other party doesn't even know about that. They're over here like playing with unicorns. And when they find their friend's carcasses later, they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have split the party. No. But I think that like having that separation be truly separation is I think one of the benefits here, because you can actually have things happen that the other part of the party doesn't actually know about. You don't have people responding like, oh, I'm going to run over there because I think something bad is going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not metagaming, I promise. So it wasn't at play by post, but it was in just regular gameplay. But it still applies here with the splitting of the party through different chat channels, because I did this once in a game while we were playing digitally,
mm-hmm.
and I had this whirlpool, and one guy fell into it, and so I immediately moved him to a different channel, and everybody was like, oh! He's gone. Because he was gone. They couldn't right. talk to him anymore. And he was just in a different channel. And obviously he realized he was in a different channel. And so they tied a rope onto another guy and sent him through. And as soon as he was in the water, I removed him from all the channels. And when he came out the other side and he saw other buddy, I put him into that channel so that they could talk. And they're like, oh, hey, hi. But the other party had tied a rope to him. And as soon as the rope, like, went slack because he touched the ground, they pulled him back through the whirlpool because they didn't know what was going on. And so I kept moving this poor guy, just out of chat channels until he eventually got spud back on the other side. He's like, no, I found him. Put me back.
Nice.
It's a good time. And so if you plan for, like, those kind of scenarios and really take advantage of the fact, like, the tools that you have and the unique things that you can do with the different channels and the different groupings and, like you said, the secrets, you can have a ton of fun. And there's a lot of stuff that you can't do at a regular table that you can do with this kind of tool.
Yep. So let's move on from channels. Having some programming background, I may have titled this next section a little bit like a programming thing. if then else. So I think that because of the nature of the pace and the fact that you'll get a response and then you have to respond and then you may not get a response for a little while because of timing and everything. I think it helps to be dense in the things that players are submitting. So encouraging the players to say, not just, we'll go back to our bartender. I'm going to stare at the bartender and see if he's stealing. Okay, great. What are you going to do if you find out that he's stealing? What are you going to do if you find out that he's not? So I kind of approach it like an if then. I'm going to watch the bartender to see if he's stealing. If he is, then I'll do this. If he's not, this is the else, then I'll do this. And that way you've got kind of a little bit of a decision tree to move things a little bit further forward than just the oh, great, you've seen that he's stealing. What now?
Yeah, I feel like that would definitely help to, as much as the pacing of play by post is much slower, I feel like that would help to kind of speed things up a little bit.
Yeah, and we're talking about like watching the bartender, but it could be something like, hey, I'm the rogue of the party. I'm trying to pick the lock and providing my role for sleight of hand with my proficiencies and stuff with that. If I unlock the door, I'm going to open it and peek in. Else, I'll step aside so the Unglar can bash it down. just having, again, making your, making, encouraging the players, this is the thing, encouraging the players to provide a little bit of a decision tree of what you're going to do if these things happen.
Yeah. And then I think that that would also help kind of like bring people into it a little bit more. And then they see both sides of what could happen. The same as any time that, like, I make a decision in my life, not every decision, obviously, but big ones, I stop and think about it. It's like, oh,
I thought you were going to say you roll a dice. Every decision, you roll a
d20. Every single one. Wait, should I eat today or not? Oh, no.
Oh, critical fail.
See you next week, fridge. I mean, you think about various different outcomes, right?
Yep. And really, when somebody's telling you that they want to do something in an in-person game, they're thinking that there's one of a handful of outcomes. They're either successful in what they're going to do or they're going to fail. And if they fail, maybe they have a decision to make. Or if they're successful, they have a decision to make. Either way, you can provide kind of that next step.
Yeah, they usually know at least what they're going to do after the thing that they want to happen happens, if right. It will happen.
Yep.
Right? You'd hope. Anyways.
So what are some other things that we should maybe do to help make this work better?
Are you maybe thinking about timing?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good guess. So I think a problem that I foresee with doing this is how long do you give somebody to respond? Like, what's a reasonable amount of time? And obviously you would have to have this conversation with like your people at the start of this. Be like, hey, I expect responses within 5 minutes. Obviously that's unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then do I expect a response within a week? That's too long. Maybe not everybody's able to get back to you within 24 hours or within 8 hours. Or, I mean, what timelines did you guys work with?
We were pretty much on 24-hour response time. So most of the people that were playing had enough flexibility that they could spend 5 or 10 minutes every day to respond to something. So 24 hours was what we all agreed upon. And
so,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if somebody just doesn't respond in that 24 hours, were you like, oh, so-and-so like had a really rough, like long day, you know, their character spent so many hours whittling that they spent today napping? And
yeah,
they, you like just missed it.
You pretty much determine. You also talk about that with the party of what they want to happen if somebody misses a response, and it could be that they just sit there unresponsive. It could be that they kind of wander off. If it's in combat, you have to determine like, okay, well, if it's in combat, maybe they defend or something like that to where they're not just sitting there waiting to get hit, but at the same time, they're not really doing anything to shorten the combat or anything like that. So you do have to have those discussions with the party to determine what is acceptable for everybody, because you don't want to just unilaterally decide as the DM, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I guess even if you do unilaterally decide, being upfront about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Be like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And typically it's not going to be you're out for the day, because these, again, the pacing is where the interaction that takes you 24 hours to get a response could be 6 seconds worth of game, because it could be a round of combat.
Yeah. That's just so much. So when you did like the play by post, so you've done two, how many physical human Earth days did those run?
So the longest one that I had, like when you say physical human Earth days, like how many real person days, not in game
yeah.
days? Yeah. The first one that I had, which was, again, me still learning a little bit, it was probably 6 months.
Really?
We didn't get terribly far in the game, but we got fairly far. We got through kind of the intro scenario, and they had some plans, and they had a couple of encounters. So, yeah.
It's wild.
Now, one of the things that we did a little bit unofficially, but this is something that I would maybe recommend with your game as an official thing, is have some agreed upon what I'll call sprint times, where everybody's kind of expected to be there and present and ready to respond, and like where you get a lot done in this little period of time. And I know that you're doing a lot of the reason that you're doing this is because of schedule, but if you can find 30 minutes where everybody can do like a sprint, you can get a lot accomplished in that 30 minutes and then go back to your regular cadence. And maybe they can't find a few hours for your game to meet in person, but maybe they can find 30 minutes to where you have just this flurry of messages and get stuff done, and then you continue on.
Yeah, and then you could make like these big leaps, and like you said, finding a chunk of 6 hours or whatever it is that your standard game is, mm-hmm. is a lot more difficult to find than a chunk of 30 minutes.
Yep. Now, don't expect to get the same amount done as you would get done in 30 minutes, but you'll get done a lot more than you would in 24 hours of your play by post.
Yeah, you're still looking at a slow. So 6 months was your longest one?
Yeah.
Okay, and that was the teenagers?
Yep. Most of the other ones I've done have been like that in between stuff where we've done like we've had a month in between sessions, so we did play by post over a few weeks to do their little side story and then came back and resumed the game.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
And those worked really well. A lot of those were more social encounters or encounters that didn't necessarily require a lot of mechanics. They were decisions that the player had to make, but we still had to have the interaction to kind of follow whatever path that they were following.
Okay. All right. Well, that's weird. But I also, sorry, the whole thing, like I really want to do it. I've been wanting to pull the trigger on running a play by post mm-hmm. for actually a surprisingly long time. I just, every time I think about it, it just sounds so slow.
You have to be prepared for that. But like I said, there are some cool things that you can do with it that you can't do with an in-person game. So
most certainly you could, yeah. I want to do it. It's like every time I go to Comic-Con, every time I leave Comic-Con, I'm like, I'm going to cosplay. And within 2 weeks, I'm like, nah, it's all right.
It's not going to happen.
But now I'm sitting here like, oh, I want to do this play-by-post. And I will do it someday. We'll see, though. I think one of the nice things is because it's all text-based. So, like, I've thought about it sometimes when I like want to do like this big prepared speech for my players.
Yep.
I've legitimately thought about like recording it so that I can play it. So you get all the points and don't forget them
when you're like in front of everybody, you get all the things remembered. Yeah.
I can do all the different voices and all the different things, and I could like put some cinematics in the background, you know? And I've never bit that bullet either. But at the same time, if you're doing all of this by text, you could pre-type all of this stuff.
Yeah, if you've got that one location that you have lovingly created all of this detail for, and there are so many things that are important to the game that you want the players to be able to experience, you can have that description typed up and ready to go. And whenever they get there, you just like copy, paste, done. And I mean, there's a lot of things you can do that. It's the descriptions for rooms. It's NPC dialogue, obviously the big bad monologue, stuff like that. There's a lot of things that you can have pre-packaged so that your response time is not as long as it would be if you were just typing it up in ad hoc response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds... That sounds interesting. So I do have another question for you, because this is kind of something that always kind of catches me up. How did you do combat?
So again, I had this bot, and so we would basically, it was text, so it was theater of the mind, but I would also provide, because I already had digital maps, because when in person play we had the digital tabletop, I already had the map, so I'd post an image to the chat, and so people could see what the battle looked like, and you could even do something like gridded out, like a regular map has, where it's letters on the side and numbers below, and you could say like, all right, Unglar's on square A7, and he could say what he wanted to do using the grid, or something else. But we use the bot for the rolling and stuff like that. They would still type in what they wanted to do, and if we had the grid, they would type in where they wanted to go on the grid, and just go from there.
Okay, well that works if you have the grid. I guess if you don't have the grid, then you just kind of assume that everybody has a rough idea about how far they can move and kind of like what's going on the map.
Yeah, if you don't have a grid, then the map is really there to provide more detail about what the obstacles, what the cover might look like, things that they can hide behind. And then you as the DM have to, this is really getting more into theater of the mind conversation, you as the DM have to be very descriptive in how you approach the battlefield and talk about distances and stuff like that. So if you can do the grid, I would recommend doing the grid, just because then they can very easily visualize where they are and stuff like that.
So as far as being able to easily visualize where they are, so if play by post is super slow, like let's say that you even have like a full grid number, you know, A is on like alphabetical on one side, numerical on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And like we're talking like an average combat will last, I think, like 3 rounds minimum, right?
Yep.
But if you're talking like, it could be up to a day before everybody responds. You're looking at potential for 3 days plus to move through a combat.
Yep.
How do you keep track of where they are? Do you just like keep scrolling up to see where the last location they went to was? Did you keep your own little grid and like draw X's on it and move it around? Or were you just spectacular and remembered?
I mean, just like we talked about in our campaign management session, you should have tools that are managing your campaign. And for something like this, a simple note-taking tool where you can just say, Unglar is at my the player in my Pathfinder game that I run now is going to love that I keep on referring to his character. Unglar is at G9, and so you just have Unglar and then G9, and that way you can pull up the map and be like, okay, I know where these people are. I know where my enemies are because I've also written them down in the same thing. I don't necessarily go through drawing it on the map because writing it down for me just it works with my brain. So
no, that works. So you did keep like some sort of running note about where everybody was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would get lost.
If you know that combat is coming up and you can have one of your sprints, I recommend coinciding those two together, because combat is one of those things where even in a normal game, it takes up a lot of time. So if you can just have a 30-minute block where you're just focused on getting through combat, I think that it makes things a little easier.
30-minute combat?
Well,
is that what you're starting to peddle here? A 30-minute combat?
I'm saying a 30-minute where you can focus on the combat.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. So what else do you do? Like when everybody's chatting, what other systems do you have to help kind of like make it easier?
I think that if you use some text formatting as you input stuff, it can highlight certain types of information. And what it highlights is really going to be ultimately up to you, what you feel is important versus what you have available to you. So the cool thing about using something like Discord is you can use emojis on it. So you can you can put stars on either side of the really big bold thing that you want them to all make sure to read. but without those, you can still use things like italics, parentheses, bold to highlight certain types of information. So for instance, maybe you want to have italics represent actual speech. Like the NPC is talking to them. It's saying they're saying something that the party can hear. So you italicize that so they can very easily say discern what's being said. Maybe you want to have proper nouns, whether it's a location name, an NPC name, whatever, in bold. Maybe you put everything that's like a system mechanic in parentheses, like parentheses, roll for initiative or something like that. So there's a lot of other ways that you can do it, but really it's a matter of defining a system that is first memorable by you, and second is easy to discern what types of information you're trying to provide. And really this is just a matter of you've got all this text. So if you have a way to easily discern and be like, I just want to remember what somebody said, you can scroll through and look for the italics. Easy enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I saw that you had written bold for proper nouns. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was like, why would I ever go to the extra effort of writing all the names in bold? But now that you've mentioned scrolling up because you're looking for something, that makes a lot of sense. See, that's something I would have never thought to do until I was like 6 months in and going, boy, wouldn't it be handy if all of that was in bold so I could find it. See, that's what you call a pro tip, folks.
Pro tip.
Pro tip. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's really kind of my main tips from when I've done it. I would love to hear if any of the listeners have other tips that they want to share. Just come to becomingdm.com and pull up this episode page and write comments on it. Love to see if there's any other play by post expert pro tips that I may have missed.
Oh, I bet you there's some awesome ones out there.
Yep. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, there's a lot of things I want to talk about, but I don't think I have anything else for play by post. Everything else is going to have to wait for a new episode.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. If you are going to start your own play by post game, just remember, be patient. But it can be a lot of fun. So definitely give it a try if you're thinking about it. We will talk to you in a couple weeks. Don't forget that next week we will have the Becoming DM side quest. But until then, stay nerdy, friends. Thanks for joining us again. Make sure to share the show with friends to help grow our audience. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/becomingdm. On Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, we are Becoming DM. And our website is becomingdm.com. Becoming DM is produced by John Welsh and Danielle Tremblay. The show is edited by John Welsh. We'll be back in 2 weeks. See you then.